Welcome back. Today we are going to wrap up the week on stress, talking about 10 ways to best manage stress.
Every time we talk about this, I want to say something silly about, oh, I'm so stressed, but yeah. You have to contain yourself, right?
You do. You want to joke a little bit, because it's not even really joking, because we are all under a tremendous amount of stress,
that's right.
You know, so that's the reason why we chose to talk about this.
Stress is part of everybody's life. Mm-hmm. We tend to think that we're more stressed now than we've ever been, but I've been around a couple of decades, and we've always said that,
right?
That every decade is, mm-hmm. well, we're more stressed now. In the 80s, we said, we're more stressed now than we've ever been. And
right.
In the 90s, we said, we're more stressed now than we've ever been. So mm-hmm. I guess we are, and perhaps we are. Certainly, there's a lot of stress in the country today. We talked about that earlier in the week. But stress is ubiquitous, and it is an important part of how our brain works. The problem with stress is you're supposed to have some, because there, you know, earlier in the week, we talked about positive the advantages of stress, mm-hmm. What it provides. And then as we move through the week, we talked about the negative aspects of stress. But stress is ubiquitous. It's an important part of how and why we do things.
Right.
When we feel stress, it motivates us. Mm-hmm. So it's supposed to be there. The problem is stress can easily overwhelm the system mm-hmm. because our stress response system wasn't meant for chronic day in, day out, long-term stress.
So
that's where we get into problems.
Yeah, and you know, and it makes me wonder, as you were talking about, you know, the decades and how every decade it seems as though we talk about being more stressed than ever before.
It does make
me wonder if, you know, if it's one of those where people who lived, you know, 50 years ago, if they were that same age now, how would they manage the stress? Because, you know, we look back and we say, man, you know, they went through all these adversities.
Right.
You know, they, you know, people who made it through the Depression and all that kind of stuff. Those were really difficult times.
Those were stressful times, right.
But what would it be like for them to live now
with
the type of stress that we're dealing with now? It's a very different type of stress.
Different type of stress,
But, you know, would they be able to manage it?
You don't... When was it? It was in the 80s. Maybe the late 70s. When there was a TV show called The Morning After,
mm-hmm.
and it's what would happen if the nuclear weapons really did go off. It was in the days of the Cold War where we had all these missiles aimed at each other.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if? And that movie was about that, and it created the same. It was a national trauma for everybody mm-hmm. to watch this TV show, and school kids were talking about it, and churches were talking about it. People lived under the stress of the imminent threat of nuclear annihilation mm-hmm. back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And that was stressful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure. I think it's a different kind of stress.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that it's more or less.
Right.
It's a different kind of stress.
Absolutely.
We didn't have an internet then.
Right.
That creates a stress that nobody in nobody ever has experienced except right now.
Right.
Is it worse or just different?
Right. And I think that now it's much more of a self-imposed stress than it ever has been, because you know, we are intentionally exposing ourselves to some of those things, whereas you know, in the 70s and even into the 80s, when it was the Cold War and everything,
mm-hmm.
Those were threats from outside, and you know,
that's really a good point. Those were external stressors mm-hmm. that we really couldn't do anything about. I mean, there were a handful of people in the world who had their finger on the button.
Right.
Today, we all have our finger on the button. The, mm-hmm. the stress that we have today is really self-induced.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's a difference.
So today we're going to talk about 10 tips to manage stress, and this is from WebMD, but it's a great list of strategies, mm-hmm. simple strategies that you can do to help manage stress. And one of the things we wanted to mention right off was the issue of, because people often ask about medication.
Right.
For managing stress. Typically speaking, the ideal scenario is to do these things first.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
You don't really mm-hmm. want to go the route of medication until you're getting into various levels of impairment,
right.
Where your stress is starting to manifest more like anxiety.
That's right. When there's a continuum,
right?
And stress is on a continuum. Sometimes we feel some amount of stress that we can manage, and sometimes it becomes very difficult to manage. Mm-hmm. But then at some point, we reach a tipping point,
right,
if you will, where stress becomes anxiety.
Right.
It transforms into anxiety, and the anxiety becomes debilitating.
Mm-hmm.
Then you may want to seek a different kind of professional assistance. You may want to seek professional assistance just to manage day in, day out stress.
Right.
But if you feel that you're reaching some tipping point where it feels more than you can handle,
mm-hmm,
then you may want to move toward that kind of an intervention.
Right.
But don't rush to medication because you have stress.
Right.
Remember, stress, you're supposed to have stress.
Right.
There is supposed to be some stress in your life.
Right.
It's just that you have to manage the amount and not let it get out,
right,
so that it doesn't get out of hand.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So a lot of the things on this list are things that we have certainly talked about.
We have.
A couple of times before, at least. And we're going to start with number one, which is absolutely on the list of things we talked about before, and that is exercise.
Right. One of the four things that we talk about with everybody.
Absolutely. And the exercise is a marvelous way of dealing with stress. And the way that I talk about it with patients is, you know, when you think about what stress is this pent-up energy.
Mm-hmm.
What better way to get rid of that and release some of that energy than to burn it off by exercising?
Right.
You know, 3 to 5 times a week for 30 minutes, mm-hmm, is the most ideal situation.
What is it? Say that again.
3 to 5 times a week for at least 30 minutes each time.
Right. That's a starting point.
That's the ideal situation.
That's the minimum amount that you should do. Okay.
Right.
You should to get started.
Mm-hmm.
You should do this minimum. There is some minimal amount that you should do. You talk about burning it off, and you're doing that quite literally.
Right.
You know, you need oxidation,
right?
And so, when you exercise, you burn up the toxins,
mm-hmm,
and the accumulated debris in your body, and you got to burn that off, and you burn it off through exercise.
Well, we talked the other day. The biological process is that it releases adrenaline.
Right.
Well, adrenaline is used when you're exercising.
Right.
So, you know, you're using it up, and you're benefiting from it the way that the adrenaline is meant to be meant to be used.
Right.
So,
because if you just leave it there, it's going to cause problems.
Right.
So you have to burn this stuff off.
Right.
Okay. So exercise does that.
Yeah.
It also makes you tired.
Right.
So that you sleep better.
Right.
You know, when you're exercising regularly and you get into a daily rhythm.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about here, is you have to set time aside for these things.
Absolutely.
If you're going to manage your stress, you're going to have to do it in a mindful way. You know, how am I going to exercise? What about my sleep?
Right.
What about... And so the first thing is, and I guess I'm guilty, aren't I?
Yeah.
You and I have talked about this.
Yeah.
I'm not setting time. We have a gym. We have a place to work out. But I haven't restructured my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
To build in an exercise, okay?
Right.
And I look at this and I say, okay, 3 to 5 times a week for 30 minutes.
That's the start.
Surely I can do that. I mean, I can do that in my living room.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these are just bad habits that need to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you want to do is you want to work up to 2 hours.
Right.
For
30 minutes. To 2.5 to 3 or 3.5 hours,
right. Mm-hmm.
A week of moderate intensity exercise,
and you want to make it more rigorous,
right?
Each time, so yeah, you want to start small, start,
mm-hmm,
with something manageable, and work your way up.
Yeah, mm-hmm, absolutely. So yeah, start with something. And we've been discussing some ideas about ways to help people get started with some of that, and so hopefully, here at our practice, we'll be moving in the direction to help people.
Right. You have to know yourself. If you're the kind of person who has to just change everything immediately,
right,
for example, you want to change the way you eat, some people will just clear out the house, clear,
right,
out the refrigerator, clear out the cupboards, and say, okay, from now on, this is what I'm going to do.
Exactly.
Other people do it gradually.
Right.
I'm going to get rid of soda first, and,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to get rid of this. And you have to know yourself,
mm-hmm,
and you have to make these changes according to your temperament,
right,
and what you know will work for you.
Right. Yeah.
Whether you're adding something or taking something away.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The more that you extend yourself beyond what your body and what you can do, the,
yeah,
less likely you are to stick with it.
Yeah. So. When you think about, well, I'm going to go out and run 5 miles. No, that's not a starting point.
Right.
Okay, that's a goal.
Right.
But that's not the starting point. You're not going to take that first step right. if it's too big.
Yeah. The second thing, we took a long time on that first one. We just love talking about exercising.
Right.
Number two is relaxing your muscles.
Right.
So stretching, getting a massage, you know, some of those kinds of things just to, because when we're stressed, we tend to tense up.
Right.
And so, you know, enjoying something to help relax those muscles.
Right. Most people will say, well, I feel this tightness in my neck, my shoulders, or in my lower back. Well, the reason you do is because you have bundles of nerves mm-hmm. exit around the bottom right. of your neck and your shoulders and in your lower back. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's big bundles of nerves. When the muscles near them start to tighten, it right. gets worse and worse and worse because as they tighten, you tighten them even more. Mm-hmm. And so it's this downward cascade that yeah. you get into. So periodically relax those muscles. Yeah. Do what you can to relax those
Absolutely.
Muscles. Begin to relax them, and then they'll let go. They'll yep. release.
Exactly. Number three is deep breathing. I'm a big fan of deep breathing because I think that it has an almost immediate effect.
That's it.
I do this with my soccer players. Mm-hmm. I'm coaching a under eight.
Under eight?
Yeah. So
and you have them doing deep breathing?
So they're 6 and 7 year olds. And so, you know, they'll be getting ready for the
That's
game and
funny.
Everything and a halftime and during water breaks and stuff. And I'll say, okay, everybody's, let's just take deep breaths. And I have these little, it's a under eight girls team. And so I have all my girls players taking these really deep breaths and everything,
that's
and
funny.
Just relaxing and just kind of can't
and it works.
Control. It works. Yeah.
Well, that's it. That's the wonderful thing about deep breathing. It's immediate.
Yeah.
Okay. It's quick.
Yeah.
You know, whatever else you do, I mean, it takes time to exercise, relax your muscles, etc. Deep breathing, you can do and get immediate relief.
Right.
You know, because again, you're burning off. You're bringing more oxygen into your
right.
body, and you're burning off all those toxins.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Number four is eating well, and again, we've talked about our core four is, you know, diet and exercise. Those are the first two, so we'll stick with that for so far.
Mm-hmm.
But eating well, diet, how you are fueling your body. You want to avoid simple carbohydrates and some of those things that kind of trigger some of that stress response.
Yeah, you can't feel good if you're eating the wrong foods
right.
or you're eating too little or
right.
too much or
yeah.
no matter how you throw off your body system, you just don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to start feeling better, you have to eat well.
Yeah.
Eat the right amount and eat the right kind of foods.
Yeah.
You know, think of food as fuel.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You want to put good fuel in your
right.
body. So
right.
number five is slowing down a little bit.
I love number five.
Yeah.
Of all the things we've talked, I just love number five.
We live a busy life.
You talked about it being self-induced.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is an example of that.
This is a good example. I've learned over time, it's you can do all of the things you're currently doing,
mm-hmm.
but slow down a little bit when you
mm-hmm.
do them. And one of the first ways you can do this is when you have a time where you have to be somewhere. Okay.
Yeah.
You have to go to the airport.
Yeah.
You have to go. Let's take the airport. Flight leaves at 5 o'clock. You got to be there an hour ahead of time if it's
mm-hmm.
a national flight. Okay. Relax at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take the chance that you're going to be late and that you're
right.
rushing, because then the 1 hour drive to the airport becomes a stress inducing mess
mm-hmm.
because you might miss your plane. Leave an hour early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just go ahead and fly. Go ahead and do all the things you're doing,
mm-hmm.
but leave yourself enough time so
yeah.
that you get so that you don't have to worry about whether you have a traffic stop.
Right.
We have to drive on I-4,
right.
this busy, crazy interstate where there's always a stop.
Always.
The traffic always stops on I-4, unless you're doing it at 2 o'clock in the morning. Give yourself enough time. Don't relax at home. Get to the airport early and relax at the airport.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So build your schedule so that you reduce the things that are causing you stress,
right.
like not getting there on time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's best sometimes to overestimate the amount of time that it takes to do something. That
That's
way
right.
you can do it at a pace that makes sense and isn't stress-inducing.
Right. You talk about getting the kids ready for school in the morning.
Yeah.
Maybe you have to get up a half hour early. You know, then
yeah.
it's easy.
Right.
You know, then there's
Easier.
No rushing.
Yeah.
Right. There's no rushing. You have time for...
Yeah.
Can't find your shoes and you can't find your shirt and you can't find your uniform clothes. Give yourself enough time to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to rush around in the
Absolutely.
Morning.
Absolutely. Number six.
Take a break.
Take a break. You know, meditation, yoga. What are our four? Diet, exercise. We'll skip the three. And stress management.
Right.
Stress management, take a break. Meditation, yoga, Tai Chi. These are great ways to just slow down. It's slowing down, but it's taking a break and just mm-hmm. letting your body relax and being in the moment.
Whatever works for you. Right. You know, some people want to get outside and move around. I like to cook. That mm-hmm. that relaxes me. You know, if I start cooking things and have enough time. So whatever works for you, Tai mm-hmm. Chi, yoga, yeah. meditation, walking,
yeah.
Listening to music. You know, sit back and listen to music.
Yeah, absolutely. Number seven. I like number seven because I think number seven is important.
You don't have any. I guess you do.
Make time for hobbies.
Do you have a hobby?
I have a variety of hobbies.
You have two.
What are the two?
Movies and soccer.
Yes, and games. I like video games.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah, Pokemon Go. It's still there.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But it's relaxing.
Is that still going on?
Oh yeah.
Are you still playing it?
Yeah.
No, that's too bad.
Well, it's, I'm not going to say anything, but it's...
You could spend time with me instead of playing Pokemon Go. What would be better?
We need to have a couples therapy session right now.
Come on, what would be better? Spending time with me or playing Pokemon Go?
Pokemon Go.
Ooh, okay.
You don't play Pokemon Go.
Shouldn't have asked.
You don't play Pokemon
Go. You don't want to know the answer. Right. If you're afraid of the answer, perhaps you shouldn't ask the question.
Yeah.
No, I'm teasing.
No, hobbies, because, you know, what it does for me, even though it is a silly game, what it does for me is it gets me out. I get to interact with people that I don't otherwise get to interact with. I get to, there's some excitement that comes with finding things that you're looking for and all that kind of stuff. So it's much the same way as people who play like geocaching and people who, you don't know geocaching. Geocaching is a really fun, my son started to get into it and I just haven't, yet. But it's a really interesting, app where people kind of hide things in different places
mm-hmm.
and it's marked on a map and you can go try to find it, and it'll be a little message, or you take something and you leave something, but it's sort of like a scavenger hunt type of thing. But it's those kinds of things are fun because it doesn't matter, you know, there's no pressure, right. There's no stress associated with it or anything like that. It's just something that you do just to take a break and to relax.
I like hobbies for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
There's little hobbies like playing a video game very quickly, mm-hmm. okay, or cooking a meal, half hour to
cooking
cook a meal.
Cooking is great.
What they do, if you think of your brain as a lot of little gears, like a very complicated watch, mm-hmm. and the gears are always spinning, you know, they're always moving. That's stress.
Right.
They start moving a little fast. What a hobby does is it stops all the gears mm-hmm. and it makes you shift to something else that's different.
Right.
And doing something different mm-hmm. resets all the gears.
Right.
Okay. Because if the gears are always spinning in the same, they wear out.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And so what the hobby does, it stops them. You hit the reset button and you just relax and unwind mm-hmm. just with a hobby.
Right.
Like when you're playing Pokemon Go, your brain is sort of resetting itself,
right.
okay, and it's getting away from the things that wear it out,
right.
and it's you're giving yourself a break, so that when you go back, it's all reset and refreshed. Okay?
Exactly.
A long-term hobby, and I remember when I was at the University of Texas, and there was another faculty member there, and when you're a faculty member, especially at a research university, your work is never done. You're
right.
always working. You're always working. You very rarely do you get closure. So she started to build furniture, little mm-hmm. pieces of furniture, and she said it's the only part of her life where she gets closure,
mm-hmm.
okay,
yeah.
that she can stop and say, this is finished. Mm-hmm. Because in her professional life, she could never say
Absolutely.
That. You can't say, I'm finished, because you're never finished.
Right.
So her hobby was the one place where she could mm-hmm. get this sense of accomplishment.
Right.
So not only did it take her mind off her work when she was doing it, but she also had this product at the end that she felt good about.
Yeah.
So hobbies are important.
And oftentimes it's that final product that's so rewarding.
Exactly.
Because you have something tangible, especially if it's something that's tangible. You can hold on to and you can see and you can say, I did this. Right. And there's that sense of accomplishment and that sense of mm-hmm. satisfaction that also reduces stress.
And again, you have to do something that works for you. I've mm-hmm. tried many different hobbies in my life, and most of them don't work. Cooking right. does. Most of them, I've tried many, many things, and they're just not sustaining. I don't have a lot of patience. Like, I don't think I could build a wooden boat over a yeah. 6 or 8 month period. Yeah. You know, some people.
No, I would love to try that.
Oh yeah, I'd love it. I mean, my son can do all that stuff. You yeah, know, he's got all those skills and tools and everything, and he could build a boat. Yeah. But like people restore cars, I just don't have the patience
yeah.
to do that sort of thing. I mean, yeah. it wouldn't be relaxing. It'd be another source of stress for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So know yourself and do what works for you.
Absolutely. Now, number 8 is talking about your problems. Sometimes, you know, I have patients, and I know that you do as well. We have patients that come in and talk to us, and there's no real psychopathology. There's no yeah. real mental illness per se. They just like to come in and unload.
Right.
You know, with some of those patients, we refer to my office as sort of a dump.
Right.
You know, sort of an emotional
city dump.
Right. You just come in and you just dump all of that stress, and mm-hmm. we can talk about it, we can make fun of it, we can laugh, and we mm-hmm. can, you know, recover from the perspective of dealing with, you know, these things, this baggage that you're carrying yeah. with you, and you can just get rid of it.
Yeah, talk to somebody. You yeah. know, if you're fortunate enough to have a marriage where your partner listens and you work on these things mm-hmm. together, that's great. If you have a relative, that's great, a friend. A priest, mm-hmm. somebody, a member of the clergy, whoever will really listen to you,
right.
okay? Sometimes, and I'm kind of this way, sometimes you don't want to impose on others.
Right.
You know, you have the stuff that you want to get rid of. Well, then sit down and talk to a professional. You know, you say, well, why should I have to pay for it? Because you may not want to impose on anybody else.
Right.
And so, and you may want to get some advice that you can really trust. It's
right.
not, you know, some people say, well, I really don't want to tell him the truth that he's
right.
being a jerk, you know, but a professional will. They'll tell you.
That's an important point because, right. you know, sometimes the person that you're closest to is also a person that's causing a little bit of stress.
Right.
And so, mm-hmm. you know, if I know that, going to dig a bit of a hole. I know that there are times when, you know, my wife and I may be
yeah.
Struggling with something, and you and mm-hmm. I can talk about it, and right. it's just, I can just mm-hmm. make my peace with things, because if I said those things to her, if I said, expressed to her in the way that I express it mm-hmm. to you, it would cause more problems.
Right.
But I can just get that out.
And you just feel better.
And then
just
it's like,
getting
okay,
it out,
you know what?
You sort of clarify, first of all, you get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the dump, okay?
Right.
You get rid of it. Second, in talking about it and talking to somebody else you trust, you start to resolve. You say,
right.
okay, well, this really isn't that big a deal.
Exactly.
Or, oh,
exactly.
Okay, now I know what I'm going to do about this.
Right.
You know,
right.
So you relieve yourself mm-hmm. of the rent. And it's just much lighter after you've talked to somebody.
Yeah.
Okay, so
and especially when it's somebody that will say, you know, you're kind of overreacting a little bit.
Somebody will tell you the truth.
You know, it's really okay.
Are we really talking about this again? You know,
yeah.
maybe it's time to do something about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You know? So.
Number 9,
mm-hmm.
again, another one that I like, go easy on yourself.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes we put ourselves under so much pressure
right.
to perform at a certain level, to do a certain amount of work, or to perform at a particular pace.
Mm-hmm.
Go easy on yourself. It's okay. You know what? Because if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling stressed, it's not because you're weak. It's not because
right.
you're insufficient or insignificant or any of those kinds of things. It's just life is stressful
yeah.
sometimes,
right.
and it's okay. So go easy on yourself.
Life will sometimes weigh down
yeah.
heavily.
Absolutely.
So laughter, you know,
yeah.
laughter makes you feel better. Again, it's like a form of exercise. And you've all heard about that thing that it takes more facial muscles to frown than it does to smile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about relax your muscles.
Right.
Takes fewer muscles to smile. So please, go easy on yourself. Don't lose your sense of humor. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest problems that we run into. We tend to take things so seriously, you know, and especially if you're in relationships with a spouse or with your children
mm-hmm.
or,
mm-hmm.
you know, other family members. Gee, don't take it so seriously.
Yeah.
You know, just relax and laugh a little.
Absolutely.
Yeah. yeah. Don't take yourself so seriously.
Yeah.
It's gonna
all
be
right.
okay.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then number 10, eliminate your triggers.
Right.
So recognize, again, we do this with a lot of our patients, but you know, identify those sources of stress that you can get rid of.
Right.
You know, there is no, sometimes patients have a difficult time hearing this, but there's nothing that obligates you to be in relationships that aren't satisfying to you. There's nothing that obligates you to remain in a situation that is overwhelming or causing you so significant a stress that it's impairing your ability to function.
Right.
Those obligations are self, not, I don't want to say self-induced, but we're accepting those.
They're chosen.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think you have to get to that point, mm-hmm. where you just say, whatever I'm doing, I'm choosing to do.
Right.
Nobody's doing it to me.
Right.
Okay. I am making choices. You know, mm-hmm. even you say, well, no, you're married. So, but you can get divorced. Or
right.
I have these children, but you can deal with them differently.
Yeah.
I mean, what you're doing right now is a choice that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if something isn't going right, then change what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
because you're in charge of
right.
your life.
Absolutely.
You know, nobody's making you do this stuff.
No. Now, that was the 10 that was listed there. Number 11, if we want to say.
Oh, that's a good idea.
But it's one that is part of our core four.
Right.
But it's, you could loosely place it into some of those. But the fourth one is sleep. And you mentioned
right.
it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Getting adequate sleep right. is critical to self-management.
That's right.
Stress management.
A tired baby is a cranky baby.
Yeah.
A tired adult is a cranky adult.
Right.
Okay. So if you're not sleeping well,
right.
that's going to add to your stress, and it's
yeah.
going to make it more difficult for you to manage your stress.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to be fatigued, you're going to be on edge, you're going to be a little bit out of sorts,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to be able to do your exercise schedule and eat properly, and
mm-hmm.
you know, you're not going to have the time to go home and eat properly, so you're
right.
going to stop and get donuts, you know,
right.
or something that make you feel good. So get enough sleep. It's
yeah.
really, really important.
Absolutely.
It's critical.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So all right, that is it for today. Before we let you go, we're going to remind you once again of
right.
the upcoming first annual
Bloggers.
Mental Health Bloggers Conference.
Right.
And the link to the website is in the show notes so that you can
right.
Learn a little bit more about it. But this takes place on December 17th
mm-hmm.
Of this year. It takes place in London. So those of you who are from London who are listening,
right.
check it out. And attend. It'll be fantastic. For those of you who can't get to London for one reason or another, like us,
we have the miracle of technology.
We are working diligently to get everything set up so that
mm-hmm.
we can broadcast the conference live via the internet, so that you can attend virtually.
Right.
You can participate. You'll be able to ask questions. You'll
mm-hmm.
be able to engage just as if you were there. What our hopes are.
Right.
We're working on some of the technology. What
mm-hmm.
I think that the main idea is to try to figure out how to do it in a way that's not too expensive for people to be able to attend virtually.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Right. And we're going to be doing a show.
We're going to do a live broadcast of the podcast.
Right. Live broadcast of a podcast.
Yeah.
That we're going to do specifically for this particular conference.
Right.
So we're honored to be asked
yeah.
and to be a part of that
right.
Event.
So yeah.
the first annual.
Yeah, so we're going to do a podcast that will be broadcast live, and
mm-hmm.
again, we'll be able to take questions from people who are attending the conference either virtually or in person there in London. But we will be, you know, here in our little studio in Lakeland,
right.
Florida.
In the midst of the holiday season. It's
yes.
a week before Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Right? So
it's a Monday.
It'll be a fun time. It'll
yeah.
be a joyful time. So we're looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but again, the link is in the show notes. Check it out and check out the organizers. That's PsychReg,
right.
PsychReg.org. That's one of our home sites,
right.
And our good friend at Get Sight, Fraser Smith,
yeah.
who is a wonderful man. So looking forward to working
yeah.
with him some more. So,
yeah.
all right.
Good.
That is it then for today and for this week. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.